Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, January 14th. An initiative focused on living long and healthy lives just popped up in San Marcos. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Yesterday, County Supervisor Paloma Aguirre traveled north to Sacramento to testify before the California State Assembly Committee on Natural Resources. Aguirre was there to champion Assembly Bill 35. If passed, that bill would speed up releasing funds for various climate, water, and natural resource projects. That includes a project to decrease exposure to toxic gases from the Tijuana River. Supervisor Aguirre says that pipes initially installed to help prevent flooding are increasing airborne pollution.
Unfortunately, that cascading effect, that drop-off, that riprap, those four pipes are actually creating more turbulence in the river. So that's what I mean when it's intended to prevent flooding, but now is actually causing the release of more gases and pollutants shooting up into the air because of that turbulence that happens at that point.
AB 35 will now head to appropriations. If approved there, it would then make its way to the state Senate. Professional women's flag football has landed not just in San Diego, but the entire Southern California region. The new league is called the SoCal Women's Pro Flag Football League. Each of SoCal's eight counties is expected to have a team. League organizers say women's flag football is one of the fastest growing sports in the U.S. The plan is to have 14 games in the regular season, with games starting in June. Tryout dates, team names, and venues will be released next month. Periods of gusty Santa Ana winds are expected through Thursday, while forecasters say warmer temperatures have begun to make their way in. Afternoon highs for the county's valleys are expected to be roughly 10 to 15 degrees above average for this time of year. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons, and I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts, and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
San Marcos is looking for ways for its residents to live longer, healthier lives. The city wants to become the next Blue Zone city. North County reporter Alexander Wen looks into what that means.
Some researchers coined the term Blue Zones to describe communities where people live very long lives. Diet and exercise are some of the reasons, along with low stress and rich social interactions. Tuesday, San Marcos announced that it is partnering with the Blue Zones Project for a citywide assessment to come up with a plan to achieve that. To help with the assessment, the city is also partnering with local healthcare providers, such as TrueCare and PACE. Mary Jurgensen with PACE says healthcare and city planning cannot operate in silos if the goal is to develop a healthy populace.
We're excited to be part of this project because it will ensure that not only for today, we will have some improved policies and even infrastructure in the city to improve access to things such as transportation, healthy food and choices.
The assessment will cost an estimated $150,000. The city says it's all paid for by private donors. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
San Diego City leaders are standing against President Trump's new offshore drilling plan. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says the plan would allow new oil extraction in almost all federal waters.
San Diego is joining a chorus of cities in the county and state opposing new oil and gas drilling. The city council approved a resolution that says drilling would threaten coastal resources, marine wildlife, and human health. It affirms the stance the city took in 2018. Local resolutions have no legal authority over the federal government's plans, but Joel LaCava says they can have some influence. He is the council president.
If we don't send a clear message to Washington about what is important to us, then we've really failed, I think, the residents and the businesses.
San Diego County, Solana Beach, Vista, and Escondido have also approved resolutions opposing the administration's proposal. It would allow oil and gas companies to lease offshore sites. Three of the proposed sites are off the Southern California coast. The gas leasing program is open for public comment through January 23rd. Tammy Merga, KPBS News.
Rail advocates are renewing a push to electrify the train service between San Diego and Los Angeles. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the proposal is facing several obstacles.
Electric trains offer faster and quieter service. They're also less polluting than the diesel locomotives that are currently in use. Electrification comes with steep upfront costs, mainly to install overhead wiring. But operating costs are lower, which allows trains to run more frequently, says Andrew Graves of the grassroots advocacy group Californians for Electric Rail.
You want to make it so that people can just show up at a station and get on a train. They don't have to think about looking at the schedule or planning their whole thing around it. It makes it a lot more easy for people to shift their way of thinking to just show up at the station and take the first train that comes.
State Senator Catherine Blakespear said the Losan Rail Corridor between Los Angeles and San Diego needs more statewide oversight and coordination, and the state needs more professional advocates for rail.
In California, we've really hollowed out our rail expertise. You know, we don't have like a Caltrans equivalent for rail, which would be great. So building that back up, of course, takes a financial commitment. And it is true that there's a lot of reliance on consultants.
A statewide rail plan released in 2024 aims to electrify most trains in California by 2050, but not the Losan Corridor. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The school year may be halfway over, but there is still time to sign up children for no-cost preschool in the San Diego Unified School District. Reporter Jacob Ayer says the half-day classes are for 3 and 4-year-olds whose families live in the district.
Preschool students at Porter Elementary School begin their day listening to a book read aloud by their teacher.
With a pat, pat, pat in the hip hop, hey.
San Diego Unified says it has space for over 250 more children in classes like this one. Preschool runs through May. Santos Gonzalez is the district's director of early learning.
So we have preschool programs for 3 and 4-year-old children, and we have them at 27 school sites across our district.
She says there's space in both of the district's no-cost preschool programs. One has income requirements. District officials say there are more openings in preschool classes because of the expansion of transitional kindergarten, also known as TK. The preschool classes run for 3 hours at a time, with mornings and afternoons both offered. People interested can register online through the district website. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Take a walk through Balboa Park and you'll find dozens of historic cottages celebrating cultures around the world, and now the House of Somalia is joining them. It's the first African country to be represented by the International Cottages. Midday Edition host Jade Hindman sat down with Rammo Abdi, the co-founder and president of the House of Somalia.
This is the first African country to be represented by the International Cottages at Balboa Park. What do you think about that?
Like I said, this is a historical milestone. The House of Africa, Somalia being the first African country to be represented and fully devoted in. And also a proud moment. We'll be the first African country, but we won't be the last. So this moment create a path other African countries to follow and ensure the African culture have places to in those spaces.
Over the past year, the Somali community has been subject to racist remarks and profiling by the Trump administration. How is all of this affecting your work?
Even while this administration is attacking our community and saying all the sort of lie, our community stands strong. We just met with Mayor Todd Gloria, our council member Sean Elo at PANA this weekend to continue to build ties and make sure that our local leaders understand who we are and what our needs are.
Yeah. Well, tell me, and why are spaces of cultural celebration like the House of Somalia so important in normal times, but especially during this time in history?
These cultural spaces are very important. One, for our Somali Americans, kids who were born here, especially my kids. I grew up here. Yes, I know a little bit about my culture when I came here, but especially for those who were born here, they know who they are, their belongings, they belong here, and they also have that ties to their culture, right? So they allow people to feel seen without even explanation and be proud of who we are without apologizing who we are, right? These spaces are preserve history, strengthen our identity, and help people feel rooted, especially in places that once felt unfamiliar. So for my kids, for my future grandkids, they know who they are by just connecting to these cultural spaces.
How has the community reacted to the opening of the House of Somalia?
So when they first find out that, oh, we're gonna be having House of Somalia in Balboa Park, they were very excited. Like the elders were like, oh, this is like a history. This is a milestone that our community never achieved. So not only for Somali or Somali Americans, is for even broader community, for us to share our culture beyond what they see on TV, like saying, oh, Somalians are fraudulent, Somalians are this and that. I want them to sit down with us, break a bread with us and eat together and learn about our culture. And this will literally teach everyone who does not know who we are as a Somali community, instead of like just getting all those fake stories from
disinformation, stereotypes, all of it. Yeah,
misinformation, stereotypes from others, but come and sit down with us, break bread with us and learn about our culture, be with us, and then to celebrate who we are. And also for Somali Americans, our kids, our generation have some ties to these cultural places.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, congratulations again on the opening. But before I let you go, any big events or celebrations you're looking forward to through the House of Somalia?
Yes, we are definitely will be celebrating July, which is Somali Independence Day that we've been celebrating in the past. And also, please get involved. Come. We host every third Sunday of the month in Hall of Nation in Balboa Park, where we teach about our culture, our stories, and come and learn about Somalians.
That was Ramo Abdi speaking with Midday Edition host Jade Hindman. You can find the full conversation on the KPBS Midday Edition podcast. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really thank you for that. Have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.